of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, I'm Chris Stainis, the host of Voices of Women, and today we're going to talk about Sophia, the feminine face of God. Now, I remember several years ago looking Sophia up in the Bible and found only one reference to her name, that she was the feminine counterpart of God. I also knew she was considered to be wisdom, which is referred to as a she in the Bible. But there are many books on Sophia. I would look for her in the many goddess books out there that would list all the goddesses, and she wouldn't be listed. I first was in touch with Sophia through one of our Woman Wisdom speakers who has been on the show with me, Marion Widman. And I remember her sharing a dream of Sophia, who told her how she had misplaced her pearls, which referred to her wisdom. So I personally connected with Sophia in 2007. Excuse me, while writing the Woman of Wisdom book. And I called on her to be with me, and I very much felt her presence guiding me in that creative process. So I'm pleased to have my guest today, Karen Spierstra, who's authored the book, Sophia, the Feminine Face of God, Nine Heart Paths to Healing and Abundance. And Karen is a veteran writer, editor, and expert on feminine spirituality. Her new book, Sophia, the Feminine Face of God, was more than 20 years in the making. And when publisher Michael Weiss asked her if she had anything in the works for his new imprint, Divine Arts Media, the book began to take shape. And Karen was a high school English and speech teacher and a freelance writer. She spent 10 years writing weekly regional and national newspaper columns, then entered the college text and professional book publishing world. And in this realm, she acquired and developed books in music, art, humanities, photography, film, broadcast, and a line of forward-thinking business books. And her books include The Green Devotional, Active Prayers for a Healing Planet, The Earth Shapers, Divine Sparks, and Hunab Q. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. The 77 Sacred Symbols for Balancing Body and Spirit. And she also works with a select number of clients through her writing and publishing service, which can be found at www.sophiaserve.com. She lives in Vermont in the Green Mountains and enjoys gardening and is active in politics and music. And Karen says in her book, Sophia can be called a spiritual memoir. Sophia, her book, can be called a spiritual memoir because it's her inner journey as well as how Sophia's own story has been unveiled over the past 3,000 years or so. And Karen describes Sophia as a divine feminine who's been a part of our world from its very beginning, known by many names in many cultures. And Karen says she's bigger and more inclusive than any of the names people have called her over time. So welcome, Karen, to Voices of Women.
Thank you, Chris. It's a joy to be with you today. I so appreciate being able to add my voice to all those other great women's voices you've been gathering.
Yes, thank you. Well, I think your book is pretty amazing. And it shows us just, well, how diverse the feminine, or Sophia, is, and how she shows up all over the world in myriad of ways throughout our life experiences. We don't even realize sometimes it's the feminine that's being expressed, or that we don't call it or define it as the feminine. And like you say, she's been veiled, hidden for thousands of years, and it seems like we're beginning to unveil her again. So I want to explore this more with you, and how you came to recognize her in your life. What was your defining moment that you became aware of the feminine or had an experience with Sophia?
Well, I think that having grown up in the Midwest, I'm a Wisconsinite by birth, and I grew up in a Lutheran parish, and we never thought of calling God by the feminine she. It was always he. And I don't think I really realized that there might be another face to God until we moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts in the early 80s. And I was fortunate enough to be able to use the Harvard Divinity Library and the Divinity School Library. And I read through all, you know, shelves and shelves of Goddess books, all the ones that I'm sure you and your readers have read. And then I found a book called Wisdom's Feast, Sophia in Study and Celebration. It was by Susan Caddy and a few other authors. And I took that with me on a business trip. And it was at that on that trip that I talked with Michael Wiesig, the originator of Divine Arts. And when I got back on the plane, I just started thinking, you know, there's something to this Sophia. She's called by many names, and I just think that I want to find out more about her. So I started reading some Gnostic literature and looking through the Bible. My husband is a theologian, so we happen to have a Greek Bible in our house. And every time I see wisdom listed, I have him check it out. And sure enough, it says Sophia. So I think that we've just totally lost her. So to answer, this is a long answer, Chris, but I think in the early 80s is when I really started to think of her as this all-inclusive feminine figure.
Yeah, I like that term, inclusive, all-inclusive. There's that feeling about her, and it's also kind of elusive. You know, you can't quite put your finger on her.
You can't. I think she's kind of like an iceberg. You know, you see the top, tenth, but you don't.
Oh.
I mean, we can't define God. I mean, God is beyond our human definitions. But she has made herself present in so many ways. The fairy tales and the folk lore, and the songs and dances, and she has just permeated our lives. And then the patriarchy really took over, for the Christians at least. That was around 300 A.D. And before that, women could be priests, but after that, goodbye, feminine figures of God, except, of course, for Mary. You mentioned Marion Woodman earlier, Chris, and I love what she says about this feminine divine. She says, call her anything you like, but call her.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And even if you don't even know who she is, just call her and she'll show up in your life, right?
Right. I got an interesting email this week from someone I don't know who had found my book at Borders, which surprises me because I've under the impression all Borders stores are now closing. But she said she has been studying the Enneagram and Gurdjieff's material for years and years. And she went to Egypt recently, and all of a sudden she found herself praying to a divine feminine. And it surprised her. And then when she found my book, she noticed that I had included little bits of Enneagram material in every chapter, since there are 9 chapters and 9 Enneagrams, of course. And she thanked me because she said this is the first time she had ever thought about hooking up the Enneagram to the divine feminine.
Yes, I found that interesting in your book, too. And you bring a lot of things, and we're going to explore some of this as we go through this hour. But you talk about, and you also coined this term I hadn't heard before, the eternal essential feminine, which I think is interesting. But we actually have to go on a break right now, so we're going to come back to that.
We'll pick it up with the eternal essential feminine.
Yes, okay, we'll be right back.
The world one listener at a time.
Hi, Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
If you like reading personal development books and would appreciate receiving additional guidance from the author, this unique gift is for you. When you purchase the book, In Search of the Miraculous, Healing into Consciousness, and the No Yes Active Meditation CD, you can register for a free teleclass with Eliza Matadalian, which will give you an opportunity to ask your questions and receive personal guidance on how to find your inner joy and live your life more fully. Visit healingintoconsciousness.com or details.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to City SolveUrbanRace.com.
Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Rise and shine, sister light. Spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking with Karen Spierstra. Just want to point out that was Lorraine Bay singing the Woman of Wisdom theme song from our conference, and you could get that on our Woman of Wisdom CD, which you can find on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. So we just left off, Karen, talking about the eternal essential feminine. So where did that term come from, and what is it really talking about?
Well, like most writers, I borrow. that phrase comes from Teilhard de Chardin, the French Jesuit paleontologist, who described Sophia that way. He called her the beauty running through the world, and he wrote, "I am the essential feminine." And I just thought, and then in another place, it's, "I am the eternal feminine." He's writing kind of in her voice. So I just thought, she is the eternal, essential feminine. Essential because I think we're at a point in our world right now, in our lives, that we're seeing a chaotic breakdown of a lot of institutions and a lot of what we thought was stable in our world, not least of which, of course, is the economy. And I think that the fact that she is essential now stems from my thinking that it's high time, of course, that we start balancing the patriarchal with the matriarchal and the masculine with the feminine. So that's where it comes from.
Okay, yeah. And I like the eternal being there, too. It's like, you know, it's everlasting, ever-present.
Yep.
And in the beginning, I mentioned about it being, you know, it's... She's larger than we have any concept of, just like God, you know, is just as immense as the concept of God. Like, how, you know, how do you define God, and how do you define the feminine and Sophia? So in your book, you give us 9 ways that she works with us. For instance, energizes us, she provides, she names us the peacemakers, she knows us, she makes us strong, she invites justice, she sings us into service, and she binds us together. And in each chapter, you bring in these stories. So you bring in some of the mystics or saints, you know, mystics like Hildegard of Bingen and Julianne of Norwich and the geospots, sacred sites that... So you brought many perspectives in. So it's actually, there's so much there that you could just take a chapter and kind of go through slowly and see what these things mean. One of the things you did that I love is the fairy tales. And you bring them in, you bring the feminine perspective into the fairy tales. So, for instance, like Little Red Riding Hood, what's behind that story that from a feminine perspective of what the lesson is there for?
Well, I think that appears in the chapter on giving and giftedness. By the way, I have 2 sons, and one, the older son, actually co-authored that book that you mentioned earlier, Hunab Ku, which is about sacred symbols and balancing our minds and spirits. And when I started writing this, I ran those. I said, I think I want to include fairy tales. And he said, well, it might work. And then I said, I sent him one, and he said, well, Mom, you know, you can't just retell the fairy tale. You have to tell it a little different way. So I thought, okay, so let's take all these different stories and write them from a, you know, pick one of the characters and just write it from the feminine perspective. So for Little Red Riding Hood, I was speaking from the little girl's, obviously, Little Red Riding Hood's perspective, but... all the women in the story and the woodsman who comes and saves her are exhibiting Sophia characteristics. The mother says, you know, go visit Granny and bring her this. You know, she has empathy for this woman who's living alone. So Little Red Riding Hood goes off into the woods, and she meets the wolf, who says, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to visit my grandmother. And the wolf leaves, gets there earlier. But when she comes... she's concerned about her grandmother, so this little girl also has this caring, loving, empathetic, Sophia-like quality about her. And then, of course, we know the story. She gets eaten up, and then the woodsman comes along, and I think that is kind of a metaphor, at least this is the way I read it, for men today realizing that their task is to help heal and protect women so that they can carry on their task today, which is all about healing our relationships and healing our bodies, healing the world, healing the planet. So he carefully releases Granny and the Little Red Riding Hood. And I love the idea that, and this, again, if I can find it in the book, I point it out here, but just I'll talk while I'm looking. The role of men today to help women reach their potential is so important. So that was sort of in a thumbnail sketch of what I was doing with that particular one. But each fairy tale shows various aspects of Sophia speaking through the characters.
Yeah, so there's so much there. I like the idea of you bringing the men in and what their role is, because a lot of times in this shift and what we're going through and the woman becoming empowered, men kind of feel loss of, well, who am I? Chopped liver. So
yeah,
they are
right.
There. They are there to, you know, they have a role, a very important role, and to help to be a part of woman healing and to help empower women and to set the stage for that is such an important aspect that men can be a part of this. And
yeah,
I was looking at you bring in for that chapter on the gifting, the Enneagram 2, which has to do with helpers. And so that's that aspect of helping others to step up to their full potential is what you're talking there about with the woodsman. So that's great. So
If I could just, I did find this reference. It's Llewellyn Von Lee. I don't know if your listeners have heard of his book, The Return of the Feminine and the World Soul. He's often asked when he speaks, you know, what are men supposed to do? And so this is what he says. Men can't heal the world. They don't know how to heal the world. It's women who have to do this healing. But first, they have to learn to forgive the masculine for what it has done, because no healing can be done without forgiveness. And their role is to protect women as they do their healing work. So that defines the woodsman's role in that story.
Yes, yeah, that's good. I like that. Well, another aspect in each chapter is the visiting sacred sites, and I think the ones you shared in the book are probably ones that you visited. You call them geo spots.
Mm-hmm.
So were they, did you consider them mystical experiences for you, and would you share one of your favorite places?
They were mystical for me, and I have visited all of them. Let me preface going into one in particular by saying Sophia's everywhere. She is the Godhead everywhere. So when people find certain places that they can feel her more, you know, more mystically, as you say, or just feel her presence, this is such a personal reaction to the place. But there are certain places that call up something very deep to every, it seems, to everyone who visits them. And I think Chartres Cathedral is one of them. Chartres, in northern France, is an interesting cathedral. It holds no dead bodies. Nobody's buried there. It's a birthing place. And the queens of France would come and you know, spend time there. And actually, there's a relic that has been saved over the years. Supposedly Mary's veil, or a piece of cloth that tradition says she wrapped baby Jesus in. Now, I don't know. They've done carbon testing, dating testing on that piece of fabric, and they have pinpointed it to the first century, and they call it Syrian. So it's a very old thing. And the queens of France would come and probably borrow for their birthing to make sure that their baby also got that sort of that wonderful blessing from the cloth. Chartres is just, it is such a feminine place, and you feel it in the statuary, you feel it in the stained glass. There's just an amazing stained glass that is that was saved through a fire that practically destroyed everything. There's just like part of one wall that was left after this fire in the 12th century. And it's the first church in France that was dedicated to Mary. People who go there have very mystical experiences. There's a man from Slovenia who does geomancy in Germany. In fact, he calls his school the Hagia Cora School, so it's like Hagia, H-A-G-I-A, Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. It means holy wisdom. And he claims that it's the eternal soul that feels joined to the eternal earth there. There's something very mystical about where that cathedral was built. It was built over a Druid school. And they claim there are like seven streams that come and crisscross underneath the building. So Chartres is not just a building. It is a place where the mother, a large stone that they used to call the Mother Stone, marked that spot. And then the church was placed on top of it.
That happens a lot. Okay, well, we're going to take another break. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Sophia and the feminine with Karen Spierstra.
Gloria
Messenger is a spiritual artist and angel messenger. Her life mission is to celebrate the joy of angel love and deliver your personal message. She helps others open to their angel connection. Gloria's angel portraits offer empowering daily inspiration. To commission your angel portrait, call 905-468-5529. That's 905-468-5529. Or visit www.theangelmessenger.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stanis, and we're on Voices of Women. I'm talking with Karen Spierstra. And Karen, can you give your contact information where people can find you and where they can buy your book?
Sure. The publisher is Divine Arts Media, and they're divineartsmedia.com. If you go to my website, www.sophiaserve.com, you can click on all of any of the books, which will take you to Amazon, and of course you can find them at Amazon. They are in bookstores when you can find them. But I would say that those would be pretty sure bets, you know, directly from the publisher or on my site or Amazon.
And just want to let the audience know that she, Karen, has given away two books today, and at the end of this segment, we'll give out the phone number to call the radio station. The first two people that call in will get a book. So we've been talking about all these different aspects. You know, you've shared the geospots. We've had the fairy tales. So there's many ways to get in touch. But what do you recommend people do? You know, say they're just beginning their exploration. What should people do, or what can they do, to get in touch with the feminine or Sophia, or even just plain bringing spirituality into their lives?
Well, I think what most people would recommend is that they start some kind of meditation practice, quieting, centering, breathing. It's interesting that the word for breath in both Hebrew and Greek is feminine. So when you're breathing in the feminine, if you believe the, some of that old language. But I would say, you know, visualizing a presence that is beautiful and energetic and kind and embracing. Jesus used the analogy of the mother hen gathering her chicks, and I think that's a good visualization because many of us are feeling extraordinarily fragmented and nervous and stressed. I think that visualizing a feminine presence that loves us is the key. Right now, you know, when we saw what was happening in England recently with the riots, and we think, gosh, that could happen here with flash mobs and chaos and all of that. I think the key is calmness within chaos. I think that's what she offers. She offers a great stillness and gentleness and calmness. And part of that just comes with deep breathing. There are many good things to read, but I stress throughout the book that she is present in our hearts, not necessarily in our minds. So we could read a dozen books about Sophia, but unless we really experience that spirited, gentle presence in our lives, we might continue to miss her.
Yes, it's not something that you just, it isn't just words, it's something you experience. And so, yeah, you don't always, but that's why some books are great, and yours is one of those that shares stories, because I think a lot is conveyed in stories. We can relate to stories. I think stories are very important.
Oh, I agree. And when I started really working on this, Michael Wiese was very, very helpful. He said that he didn't think that we wanted to write about Sophia. The book does that, but he wanted it to be about us all having a direct experience of her. And he felt that my mission was to write so that that could happen in the reader's heart. So I start each chapter with what I call heartbeat questions. And I think holding questions is another way to find her. She is... go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just gonna say,
I think she's present. She's present in the questions that we ask.
Yeah, so maybe you could share from one of the chapters. I know you have like three questions, I think, often when you start a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What types of questions are you asking?
Well, I'll just open it up at random. The chapter called She Energizes Us. My questions are, what's putting me to sleep and keeping me drowsy? What energizes me? How do I sense energy? How have I used my intuition today? I talk a lot about intuition because I feel like every time we get an intuitive flash, that is Sophia speaking to us. She's winking and she's giggling and she is playing games and she is telling us things and she wants us to start listening to what the intuitive flash is. Another question in that chapter is, how does boredom appear in my life? And then, what's the most courageous thing I've ever done? I mean, these are the kinds of questions that groups might also want to use if they were to study it. I know the book is used in some book clubs. So
yeah, it would be a good book for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, there's lots there. And, you know, it's all, everything you're saying is pointing people to within, because that's where you would find her also.
Absolutely, within.
It's reflected out there. If you're out in the woods, you may get in touch or, sacred, what you consider a sacred spot, but it's still your experience within. So it's going within to find this feminine presence. So something that you went through that is within process was facing cancer.
Yes.
And I'm just curious, you know, what role that spirituality and Sophia played with interacted with that, with you?
A big role. I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2003, in August, so I just had my 8th anniversary. And I'm very fortunate in that I'm being treated at Dartmouth. I live in Vermont, and I'm very close to Dartmouth University Hospital, which is a research center, and I have had excellent teams. But there is something about walking into like the infusion suite, when you know you're going to be injected with this chemotherapy that is like, one woman said, gosh, that's like drinking Drano. And you're sitting there thinking, all this poison is entering my body, but I know why it's coming in. It's to kill the cells that we don't want. But I look around and I see in the faces gentleness and loving, and the nursing staff are just little Sophias running around. They are so, so good, and so, you know, their presence is Sophia. Sophia can't work through us except through other people's hands and feet and their voices. So how people speak to each other with great care and great love and great gentleness. And I just felt her presence. And then there are wonderful volunteers who come and do massage and Reiki and all that kind of thing. And it's, you know, the people who do healing work are her front cadre of workers. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know if that really answers the question about how I felt her presence, but I felt it in my family, of course, as well. My two sons and all the friends. My husband, who has gone to every single chemo, and I've had many, many, many. I've lost my hair 3 times. Mm-hmm. And he has been with me. And he is just, he is my Sophia. I mean, he is his stalwart companion. And so I see Sophia appearing in people who are loving.
Yes, because she is love. But you mentioned something like it, you could only feel her through other people's hands, but can't you feel it through your own hands too? If you'd put your hands of, you know,
oh, yeah,
on your heart and get in touch,
oh, sure,
with love,
yeah,
with
it,
you.
Yeah, yeah. It, definitely. I think I meant you don't really see her so much in well, it's in actions more than words too. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, she's present in a hug. But yes, of course. I feel her presence every day inside. But I mean, that's the heart, the heart place that you experience, mm-hmm, the Godhead.
Well, yeah, and that's so important. Is like, not only they were there for you, but in essence, you called on for support. I mean, I think it's an important thing that we need to be aware of, is supporting those who are going through life threatening and life changing events, mm-hmm, like cancer, is to be there for them. Sometimes we shy away, not knowing what to say, not wanting to do it. All you have to do is be there, because that's showing love.
Absolutely. And be willing to listen. You don't have answers, but just be willing to listen. And this is, I think, the secret of women's circles, which I also talk about in the book. And I have a wonderful one around me. We meet monthly. There are 7 women. And they said when I first went in for surgery the very first time, when I didn't know if it was going to be malignant or not, what should we visualize for you? And I said, visualize the Milky Way holding me, wrapping me, and keeping me safe. And they did. And every time now that I look at the Milky Way, and it's very dark in Vermont where we live, and it's easy to see it, I think of their love, and I think of the cosmic love that I'm getting from the universe.
Yes, that support from women, from the women's circles, and I'm that's something that I stress strongly, is to create a woman's circle so that you can, for many, many reasons. Well, I want to give out the phone number for those first 2 callers will receive Karen's book. The number is 1-800-935-2819. And we're ready to take a break now. We're going to come back. We'll continue our conversation with Karen Spierstra.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95, and you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking to Karen Spearster today. And just as a last, in our last segment here, Karen, why don't you give your website again?
Okay. It's sophiaserve.com, S-O-P-H-I-A-S-E-R-V-E.com.
Great. So one of the chapters in your book, you talk about peace. And you say, she names us peacemakers. So there's a lot of concern, a lot of things going on around the world. And I know it's a general fear people have. So what can we do in our everyday life to create a more just world, a peaceful world?
One of the things I talk about in another chapter, actually, is our attitude toward the, quote, other, unquote. And the language that we use. I think once we realize what we're saying about others, whether it's other religious beliefs or other political people or other whatever, we've forgotten that we're all one, and we've forgotten that Sophia unites us, it not divides us. So I think just being aware of our language and how our language can either incite or gentle other people. But our action, I mean, what we choose to do, I mentioned meditation in our last segment, but walking labyrinths is a great thing to get at a peaceful center, because you're walking toward the center. And when you're, and I'm thinking of my own experience of walking our, we have a labyrinth in our meadow, and on 9/11, I went out and walked it and kept asking the question again, ask the questions. how, you know, if the question is how can I be more peaceful or how can I bring peace, ask the question and then be quiet and see what answers you get. And that's the wonderful tool of the labyrinth, because you can ask a question on the way in and then spend some quiet time. And the answer I happened to get on 9/11 was, because I kept saying, why was this done? And the answer I happened to get was, they're afraid. They're afraid you're going to take everything away from them. So this all happened because of fear. So we're never going to feel peaceful or bring peace if we keep surrounding ourselves with fearful images, fearful words, fear-mongering voices on the radio and TV and the Internet. You know, let's be careful what we take in. And then be gentle with ourselves and see, you know, what sorts of peaceful things we feel. The dove is a real symbol of peace, and that's been a symbol throughout the ages of Sophia and other goddess figures. For as she was sacred, the dove was sacred to Venus. I think Venus means dove, actually. So when you think about even just watching birds and feeling, you know, what the birds are telling us, open yourself up to nature, and I think you'll be able to do it. Elise Boulding is someone I highlight in that chapter, and she kept saying that women are better equipped to handle conflict that don't involve bombs and guns. And so she calls on women to and all people to remember women and children, and that will certainly bring about some more peace to our planet.
Yes, and as women are often the victims of these horrible things that happen in war, and I was reading some things about that. I think you maybe mentioned something in your book too.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Women are very equipped to handle conflict. It's one of the things of, I think it starts with those women's circles, of sitting in a circle where every voice is heard and people, you learn to listen instead of always putting your voice out there over others. It's a with others instead of over others. It's like power with instead of power over. And you're right. I mean, the fear is fear we're going to lose something. And in reality, when you're all together and you're sharing your voice, you aren't going to lose. You're all going to gain, because there's something for everybody. And I like that the term the other. You're the second person that's brought that up this year. I heard Noemi Tutu speak at a conference, and we're going to have her at Woman of Wisdom this year, which I'm very excited about. And she talks about the other, and it's whenever... You know, it's not a black and white issue. It's whenever we put somebody else as the other, as different than us, and then we disvalue them. But we're putting that term, the other, whatever word we put, it's the other, and then that brings in the fear, and it brings in other feelings that aren't of peace and love. And to look at when we do this other, when we put somebody in an other category, you know, and I found myself, it's interesting because after I heard Noemi speak, within a half an hour, I heard my mind doing that. And I caught myself like, oh, I just did the other, you know, and I can have my viewpoint. Doesn't take away my viewpoint, but I don't have to put them down for being who they are. Like, oh, they're just, you know, that was just somebody, you know, what do they know? Well, they know what they know, and I know what I know, but I don't have to do the other to them. And so it's interesting when you watch yourself do it, because we all do it. You know, we all do.
We all do. Have our... Of course we do.
Yeah.
But you're human. Right. Circles do inform us how to take better care of each other. And when I'm sitting in circle and I look across to another woman's eyes, I can see Sophia very clearly. So I would advise everyone to try to find a small group, and I explain how at least I have done this in a couple of places, and I know you have people with your organization who do this. Jean Shinoda Boland's book on the millionth circle is certainly one that I would advise people to read if they're interested in starting circles.
Yes, that's right. When the Million Circle is also Calling the Circle by Christina Baldwin,
exactly.
Which is a book that we use at Women of Wisdom. Gives you great tools for whatever purpose you have. whether you do meetings or you're in a company, they even have a guideline for in businesses, because you can use these principles in business.
That's
where
right.
You start co-creating instead of this hierarchy of the boss tells you what to do.
That's right.
And then people don't have buy-in. They don't care how well your company does because their voice isn't valued. It's very important. And I think organizations are shifting towards this new model of collaborative. In fact, I've started a business, starting a business where I'm going to take that collaborative process to companies where, because I've created Circle Leadership at Woman Wisdom, and I'm wanting to bring this to organizations who, groups or companies who don't know quite how to, you know, what's the model, what do we do, where you create a collaborative leadership and you co-create the solutions to the issues that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today, Karen, and sharing your wisdom about Sophia and the feminine face of God.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, and I recommend everybody to get Karen Spierstra's book. Her name is spelled S-P-E-E-R-S-T-R-A, and the Sophia, the Feminine Face of God, is the name of the book. So check out her book. I want to leave everybody with this thought today. Allow yourself to experience the feminine in your daily life. See how she shows up in your life, and what is she trying to show you about yourself and the divinity within you and the world around you. Well, this is Chris Stainis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you would like to contact me, you can email me at wow@womenofwisdom.org. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And just as our annual conference has changed women's lives, the book also has touched many people in their exploration of the divine feminine. And there's many voices in the book, lots of people who have been at our conference. There's art, poetry, and stories. And so it's just like Karen's book, it's a diverse exploration of the divine feminine. And you can purchase it at our website, which benefits Women of Wisdom, www.womenofwisdom.org. And sign up for our monthly newsletter. Also, you can find out about our monthly events, and you'll find out we'll be more and more sharing what we'll be doing at conference. We've added another presenter, Ubaka Hill, who's a fabulous drummer, and she's from the East Coast there up in New York. And we're very excited about our lineup this year, and we'll hope you put Seattle on your calendar for February 16th to the 20th. So thank you for tuning in to Voices of Women. Have a great weekend.
Been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.